ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. Champions League day yesterday, Champions League day today. We'll give a little review of the scores in a bit with a terrible performance by Man United. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but let's start with the news. Let's start with, how you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well, Kevin. I mean, yesterday it was important that it was Champions League Day, but I was most excited by the fact that I bought my Halloween costume yesterday. And you know who I'm going as, Kevin?
Doctor Who?
No, well, that's every day. The Doctor is, although it's hard with Jodie, but not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not really my gig. But no, I'm going as Andre Agassi.
Okay, which Andre Agassi? Because I know you can pull off the bald Andre Agassi look any day, but you're going with like 80s mullet Andre Agassi. That's the question.
Obviously, I bought a blonde wig. Come on, man. Blonde wig and a tennis record run all day. I'm going to be rocking Andre Agassi 80s tennis for the win.
Headband. You need a headband, that's for sure.
And wristbands, too. Wristbands nice. As well.
But not the big ones, you know? Not the big ones, the small ones. Right?
Yeah, I know. I am stuck in the 90s. There is no doubt about this. But yeah, Andre Agassi, that's my Halloween costume. It's pretty simple to put together. And it occurred to me in a dream. I woke up at 3 in the morning going, I need to be Andre Agassi.
Well, you're not really, like, he's not that taller than you, so you can probably pull it off.
Exactly. If only I could hit the backhand as well. If only I could.
If only you could. Soccer. Let's talk about soccer. A few news. Since yesterday, let's start with this quickly. The players' salaries from the MLS Players Union, Players Association, I'll get it out, the union, came out yesterday. You can browse them. Just Google MLS Players Salary and Players Association. You'll find the link. Not a lot of new things coming out, but when you see a team eliminated from the playoffs and their three DPs combined make more than all the other teams, like the team itself, it's like, yeah, it's going to be a loss of dollars for TFC this year.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. In case you don't realize, Javinko makes $7.1 million a year, Bradley makes $6.5 million a year, and Altidore makes $5 million a year. Combined, those three salaries are more than every other team in the league total. You know, it worked last year. That's what I'll say. It didn't work this year, so I guess you split the difference a little bit. But
the sustainability of it is interesting, because that won't stay like this forever. Like, this is just a short window where MLSC or any other team could be, okay, I can lose money in this little short period of time if we get the trophies, and then eventually we're going to move on from those players and go back to a more sustainable roster.
I'm not sure if TFC's that. Well, because I think that MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, looks at TFC as a loss leader for them. They won a championship with them last year, which helps in the market, helps their overall visibility in the market. And overall, they probably can write their money up to make it look like they're losing money, but I'm not sure they do. That said, I mean, the three of them at that high, there is a legitimate debate to be had in Toronto right now based on the season that we've had, and particularly with Altidore, in the fact that for $5 million, I mean, he's a brilliant player when he's healthy. And that second part of the statement is the key here, when he's healthy.
And it's not when he'll get injured, is where in the season that injury will come from. And will it impede your team, or will it be just in the beginning of this? Yeah, we've been doing this show, or Two Solitudes, for a while, and we have covered Josie from AZ, from the team in the Netherlands, to Sunderland, to Major League Soccer. Every single season, there's a part of the season where he's not available due to injury. So it's almost part of the conversation now is, when will that injury come?
Yeah, and look, let's be clear here. Josie Altidore is the reason TFC won MLS Cup last year. He was by far their most valuable player in that playoff run. He single-handedly almost dragged them to that title because they weren't firing on all cylinders in the playoffs last year. So he is absolutely been worth the money that TFC has paid for him, but they do need to make a decision moving forward on whether that salary is best served there. Javinko as well is another decision that needs to be made. His contract runs out at the end of next year. He is a dead man walking next year. Do you continue? Do you go through 2019 with Javinko just there as like a, you know, end of salary? You're not going to get anything for him. He's going to walk at the end of the year. Or do you re-sign him this offseason? It's a massive question. I did a poll on my Twitter, and you'd be surprised by the results. I retweeted them yesterday. 60% of fans either said just let him play it out or sell him now. That's surprising to me because, you know, it's been a frustrating year. So I guess TFC fans are stepping back and going, okay, well, we enjoyed our run with them. This is not anything, you know, this is business, basically. At what point do we say we need to make a decision here? Do we need to make a decision now about next year? Now, I think that TFC, when you look at these salaries, these three players, I believe, will be on the books next year in total at the same level they are now. Well, I mean, all three of them are under contract next year, so they will be able to make a decision. Because I do believe that TFC looks at 2019. They look at 2018 and they go, this is an outlier. We need to make some changes to improve the areas that we were weak in, which is the back this year. And there are other salaries coming off the books, and particularly Akeche, who made $1.3 million. Jesus.
Well, it's like Montreal with the Arregui situation. The guy made like $400,000 for like 2 months of being here and not even playing. Akeche is like the same situation, but $1.3 million. It's like, okay, let's open the window, take your wallet, take that money, throw it out the window.
Yeah, throw it in the fireplace. Yeah, right. Akeche, you could see moments of him, but he just never settled. So they need to take that money and put it onto a defender, because that's been the problem with this team all year. They cannot defend. It's going to be scary on Sunday when you look at Atlanta, the best offensive team coming into town, with the way that they're defending right now.
Thank God. It could be fun. I was going to say, thank God Miggy Amaron's injured still.
Yeah, you know what? 5-3. I'm going to go with a 5-3 game. It's going to be for Atlanta. It's going to be an amazing competition to watch, because Toronto can score. Like, they're still offensively gifted. Anyway, the point I'm making here is that they need to make the decision at some point on Javinko. They need to let him ride it out, and I think that they are going to let him ride it out, because realistically, you look at Javinko in 2020, he's a little body that's going to be 2 years older than he is right now. They're going to need to make some decisions, and it's going to—they caught lightning in a bottle with him.
Yeah,
it was,
and the league itself moved away from where he was. You know, the league itself changed since Javinko came in 2016. It's a different league. We have seen moments of brilliance this season at some part by Javinko. Go back to 2016. Every single moment was a moment of brilliance for Javinko. So there's a steady decline in dividend when you look at Javinko's play. Nothing to do with him necessarily, but defenders, they catch on, and other teams are getting better, and other players like Javinko show up in the league, so there's diminishing returns, I imagine.
Yeah, he's still very good.
Yes, of course.
Let's not kid ourselves here. He's still top five in the league, absolutely, and still has, especially off the set pieces, can create brilliance from nothing. But yeah, add 2 years to the age and two more years of getting kicked, and you're wondering. But they are, I think, probably going to roll the dice on another Champions League opportunity next year. They can't get a worse draw. They can't. I mean, they made the final based on that draw last year. That's insane what they did. I mean, they lose to the worst team they played. Go figure. But nonetheless, and they likely are going to, based on the way the draw is set up, it is very likely that TFC's Champions League season is going to start against Kansas City. It's 50% likely that it will be SKC that they play, just based on the way the pools are. So can they get past SKC? That's going to be a tougher ask than Colorado, for sure. But
any team is a tougher ask than Colorado, but moving on.
Yeah, exactly. But moving on, let's get past TFC for a second. We all know the issues there. What shocked me, one of the things, I'm just looking at the overall numbers right now, is Montreal. Jesus, they're way up there.
Yes.
Who said Joey cries poor all the time? They are the sixth highest spending team.
I know. He said it this year, a few weeks ago, when he said that he was losing $11 to $12 million, which is Not a corroborated number, by the way. It's what Joey says, but...
Is it the sum of everything?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not the sum, and I think it's closer to 5 to 6 when you actually include the money coming in from some. But that's something else, and we don't have the numbers in front of us to be able to give you a clear portrait of this. But Montreal did not manage their money spending well, and that's what he mentioned. He mentioned, okay, yeah, we do need to manage our money situation better. We cannot continue to waste salaries like Matteo Mancosu, over 800,000 for 3 goals in one season. Arregui, 400,000+ for a player that didn't work out. You basically have to say, well, to do what he said earlier, where scouts, you need your own scouts, and you need to stop listening to player agents. It's not one player agent in particular that keeps giving you the same players from the same part of the world that some of them actually were pretty good, but majority of them were duds. Lucas Ontivero, and there's Santiago Gonzalez, you remember? And like all those players are all Argentine, or like all like same agent, and all demand a high salary, which means a high cut for the agent, which means Montreal got punked a few times, and that's why their salary is this high. Not just because of their decisions to pay players really high, but they decide to maybe we'll throw the dice and we'll catch lightning in a bottle like we did with Piatti. There's only so many Piattis out there. It's a rare breed. And speaking of Piatti, his salary is not necessarily on there, and that's his personal choice because of his family situation. His family's still in Argentina, and not necessarily in the most safest place in Argentina, and he wants everyone to stay safe, so his salary is a bit more confidential.
Yeah, $4.7 million is what I've got on Piatti and the data that I see here. I mean, he's obviously...
It's more than that. But, yeah, that's why it's...
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got a personal contract. There's ways around this. But when I look at the impact, what I see, other than Lovitz, Kevin, other than Lovitz, who absolutely at 87,000 is value.
He's a value? I think he's a discount. He's one of the best left back in the league this year.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, that's absolutely a coup there. But when I look at the impact's roster, I think the mistake they made is I don't see a lot of players under 100,000 that are really contributing at a massive level. Yeah. Like, they haven't found a lot of value there, and you need to have that. And to go back to TFC, simply because they won the championship last year, and I know them well, they got something out of guys that were paid under 100,000. That, like, Hagelin had great contributing moments in that run. Zavaleta had great contributing moments in that run. These are guys that don't make a ton of money, and that matters when you're putting together a championship team. And I suspect when you look at Atlanta right now, you'll find some players on that roster as well that are they're contributing and, you know, allowing them to be as successful as they are. I mean, the big players matter now in MLS, and that's the biggest trend we've seen forward since, you know, they started tracking these numbers in a real way, which is 2007. The salaries have gone insane. Just real quickly, Kevin, I'll let you jump in after this, but real quickly, in 2007, 29% of MLS players had wages that were between $100,000 and $500,000. So the top-end players were represented 29%. Now, in 2018, 44% of players make between $100,000 and $500,000.
Which is good. It's good for the players, and it means that the teams have more money to spend on the players, but it means that if you make a mistake, that mistake is a bit more costly.
No, precisely. And 1% of players in 2007 were millionaires. It's 7% now. So yeah, the league is obviously growing in that way.
You know what salary actually jumped to my mind? Bastian Schweinsteiger, $6.1 million for the Chicago Tire Fire this year. It's a good base salary. It's a good total compensation salary for a player who's going to retire. Don't tell me he's not retiring when you actually have a testimonial in the middle of the season and you have to travel halfway across the globe to play with your new team against your old team, and then you switch at halftime and you score on your new team. That's still weird to me. But yeah, Bastian Schweinsteiger. Yeah, his agent pulled a coup. His agent was pretty damn good in negotiations. That's what I think.
Yeah, that gray hair should have been assigned to the Chicago Fire when they signed him originally. No, look, they got a playoff game out of him, I guess.
They got the, well, is it Him or was it Dax McCarthy or Enrique Lynch? That's the idea. That's the question. I mean, but anyways,
they got 6 months out of him basically, and now he's running at the. I mean, look, I mean, I guess I give credit to Chicago for on some level for actually doing something, but it didn't work for them, and they signed the wrong person. I mean, they're MLS. They basically were an MLS 1.0 team that decided, oh, we'll dip our toe in 2.0. And yeah, they're nowhere near 3.0 though, so it's a bit of a disaster there for sure. The other thing that jumps out, because you know we are a Canadian show, is if you look down at the very bottom of this pool, you got to scroll all the way down here, folks.
and not only because it starts with a V, it's because their salaries are pretty low. Kai Camaro has $1 million, but outside of that, yeah, it will change though. But Vancouver,
fifth lowest salary in the league. They're not in the playoffs, guys. And Whitecaps fans, I'm not making a controversial statement. 5 or 6 years ago, I would have been. So there would have been Vancouver listeners that would have yelled at me on Twitter after this, saying that I didn't know what I was talking about because you didn't need to spend big. You could be cleverer. Cleverer? Is that a word? I don't know. You could be more clever than other teams and succeed. You can't in 2018. You simply can't. You need a top-end game-breaker player. And Kai Camara is a good TAM-level player. He ain't a game breaker in the way that, you know, $6 or $7 million could pay you. So I don't get the Whitecaps because they do well, like in terms of their attendance and like their brand, like their brand awareness and their marketing and all that. They should not be fifth from bottom in the league. Period. This is not me saying, oh, you got to spend what you don't have. This is me saying you're cheap, guys, and you're getting what you pay for.
And they even actually get more than what they usually pay for because they. Fifth bottom from the league, technically, you would not even be close to a playoff contention. And they're the one team out of the playoff race. So they're not far away from a playoff race. They're eliminated now, but they still were there all season long. At some points, they were near the top. Kai Camara is not going to come back. Let's not lie to each other here. And there will be a big roster overhaul, which will leave us to our next point before we continue on the Champions League. Vancouver is going to have a lot of money in the offseason thanks to the Alphonso Davies transfer to Bayern Munich, and we'll see how they handle this change of mentality that is needed and that could be warranted by the influx of money. There's two ways to look at it. If you've been poor your entire life and you win a lotto, guess what? Sometimes you just spend it all, forget to keep some for tomorrow, and you're back where you started a year later. Which one will it be for Vancouver?
Yeah, well, no, if I won the lotto, Kevin, I'd be dead in 6 months. Like, let's not kid ourselves. So there are.
If you win the $150 million that you can, yeah. or the $1.6 billion in the state that you can this week, okay.
It'd be all over quickly.
Where's Dwayne? Dwayne decided to start building his own tortoise, and I'll be dead in 6 months.
Dead in the Pacific Ocean. Dwayne Rollins died in Fiji today, tragically. But with a smile on his face. No,
with a smile on his face and still giving up money to like a dolphin.
Yeah, no. Hey, God, the Sports Podcasting Network would have a glorious 6 month run. Let me tell you,
we would hire Didier Drogba to be like something.
Oh, there'd be like 15 shows a day. Like it would be. I'd be pod. That's honestly, I probably wouldn't be dead. I'd just podcast myself to death and be insane. Like the you know five rings would be hourly. It would be crazy. Jesus.
Like, okay, we need new hosts. Okay, let's hire Michael Buffer. Michael Buffer does our intro. Like $1 million a pop. Anyways.
We're going to do 5 rings soon, by the way.
One day,
there's a lot of news out there. We got a plebiscite in Calgary, which basically is, are the Olympics coming here or not in 2026? So we should probably talk about that soon. But moving on from that, the last thought I have on the salaries, Kevin, then I'll let you segue. Think about this for a second, guys. Sebastian Giovinco makes more money than the entire Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, well, Houston Dynamo. The Houston Dynamo makes money because they don't spend a lot, and they have 16,000 people average at the stadium, and they make money that way. And it's a choice, I guess. It's the old. Okay, well, I don't need to spend too much. I know what's going to come back in. I'm going to spend below that, and I'll just cash the profits. Which is, business-wise, it's not stupid.
Yeah. Well, now that Dero's out of retirement, maybe they can coax him back for next season. The Mississauga Metro Stars start play on December 1st, by the way.
Yeah, and their first home game is December 8th. Look for a Metro Stars guest on the show soon. I've been in contact with the Metro Stars over the last day. And thanks for listening to us, Metro Stars. Which is not a New York team. It's the Mississauga Metro Stars. And they're playing at the old Hershey Center. But now that Hershey has left the country, they changed the name of that too. But moving on. We'll keep the conversation in Canada and to roster overhauls. Yeah, Ottawa Fury have released 15 players yesterday, Dwayne. And quickly, I'm just going to mention a few big names that have been released. Maxime Crépeau. Callum Irving, goalkeepers are not coming back. Defenders, Clément Baillat, David Edgar, Clément Baillat, former Montreal Impact Academy product. David Edgar, Canadian. Daniel Kinoumbé and Thomas Meyer-Jaguin, Montreal Impact defenders as well. Who was at the Stade Saputo last game, same as Maxime Crépeau. Those players have been released. Midfielders, Sergio Manesio and Christian Portilla. And forward, Gabriel Balbinotti, Steven Dos Santos, Daniel Haber, Azake Luboyera, Adonja Reed, Jimmy Shannon, former Montreal Impact product, and Tony Taylor. Those players will not be coming back for the Ottawa Fury. So the only players coming back, you have Nana Adekora, and you have a few players that have been called the core of the Ottawa Fury that will be staying. But yeah, they decided to save money.
You know, good for Nana. Nana's been a... Nana could play in MLS again. He could come back and absolutely be even at a starting level in Major League Soccer, but he's making a good living in the USL and is happy in Ottawa, and him and Julian are friends, so good for him. But what jumps out at me is a couple things. David Edgar, he's probably just too expensive in their mind. I mean, this is going beyond, and we're going to talk about this in Two Solitudes as well this week, by the way, and in more detail. We're going to tie it into the Canadian Premier League and the whole announcement. So, yeah. On a pure play-in perspective now, to only bring five players back, I mean, I guess on one level they didn't make the playoffs. So, and they spent a lot of money and they've got to make some changes. Absolutely, that's fair. But this level of turnover strikes me as, like, I don't know. Like, there's what is going on there? There's something odd in the water. And there's a couple players that jump out in particular that have been released that I'm quite upset about. And they are notably Crépeau. I know he was on a loan, but a lot of the thought was that he would probably stay there long term after, you know, because Evan Bush isn't going anywhere anytime soon, right?
No. And Evan Bush still has people behind him that will take over one day. My thought on Maxime Crépeau is either he's a starting goalkeeper in the Canadian Premier League next year, or who's the goalkeeper coach, FC Cincinnati? Oh, yeah, Jack Stern, former FC Montreal goalkeeper coach, former Montreal Impact goalkeeper coach, and former coach of Maxime Crépeau. Maybe that will be a landing spot for Maxime Crépeau, Cincinnati.
And you know what? If you're Cincinnati, that's not the worst decision either, because you got him cheap too. And not spending a lot on your keeper is a smart thing. But yeah, he's not back with the Impact. I think that relationship is, it's not soured, but it's just clearly not going to go forward for them. So he needs to find playing time somewhere from a Canadian. You know, he's the backup.
He's not even the backup. He would have been the backup of the backup of the backup. Because Rémi Garde said in the beginning of the season, Maxime Crépeau will not play. And he talked to Maxime Crépeau. He was like, you're not even going to play the Canadian Championships or others. I want something different for my goalkeepers than what you can bring us. Not that you're not good, but where we're going, the direction we're going to, and your skill set are maybe not compatible. And basically, Montreal wants someone who can more play from the back, and this is not necessarily Maxime Crépeau's strong suit. But we'll see what happens in the future. And he had a record-setting season in Ottawa for the amount of shutouts in one season. We'll see if this is enough to make the jump to Major League Soccer, or at least to the Canadian Premier League as a starter, which he could continue to prove himself with the team. I don't know. York 9, it's the closest team from here. Maybe that's the idea.
Yeah, well, anyway, yeah, Max, basically what you're saying is that Crépeau got Joe Harted, basically. He doesn't.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we all wish him well there. And David Edgar is the other guy that I'm concerned about. And I think that's probably a price out thing as well, because he's a guy that could probably go to, like, the second division in Scotland and make as much money as he's doing here, because he does have a lot of contacts over there. And hopefully Edgar can continue to find playing time, because from a Canadian national team perspective, and this is where I'm coming down on this, it's you need those guys playing. And
in my mind,
I think Edgar is important to get back to some level of form that he was at before Kevin.
A lot of those players will find a place in the Canadian Premier League. I'm not even going to be surprised that happens. A player like Jimmy Sanon and Clément Bayat, products from the Montreal Impact Academy, that have experience in this country, that have a proven track record in the USL, and that are still young enough to be able to transition to what is supposed to be a higher league. Yeah, I do. And even David Edgar, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, like, a captain of, let's just think about it, maybe not York 9, but David Edgar. Either
Hamilton.
Exactly. I was going to say, Ford FC's first captain, defender, David Edgar.
Exactly. Well, Ian, look, I mean, maybe that it's possible that for some of these players, that when the Fury did their year-end review with them, they spoke to them and that they might have indicated that they wanted to get more playing time, and that in turn would have led them to think that the Canadian Premier League was a better option for them. Absolutely, a lot of these guys will bounce back there. And thank God for that, because in the past, had we seen this kind of call, we would have been, well, they're screwed. They're going to be playing in the, you know, USL league next year, basically. That's my men's league. I'm not playing in this year, but that's, yeah, what I'm saying. They would have been playing in, you know, a men's league somewhere as opposed to a professional league, no matter what the level is. That's better. It is better to play in the Canadian Premier League than playing for the, you know,
the youth sector indoor league.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so if you want to know more about the Canadian Premier League, about the Ottawa Fury, make sure you listen to tomorrow's Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the full show, and you can make sure that we'll continue our discussion on Ottawa's decision to cut all those players and the landing spot, the possible landing spot of those players that were cut. And we'll continue to take a look at some of the players that will have a new lease on life playing in the Canadian Premier League. To finish the show, Dwayne, Champions League yesterday. Woohoo! That was a fun day. 8 games. Juventus, Man United was the one game talked about a lot. And, Juventus was able to do whatever they wanted with that back line. They were unlucky with scoring just one. Of course, Cristiano Ronaldo set it up, centered the ball, crossed the ball in, Cuadrado touched it a bit, and Dybala had one of the easiest goals he ever had, and it was 1-0 after 17th minute, and it stayed that way the entire game. Not once did I feel Juventus threatened by Man United in this one.
Yeah, look, we've talked a lot about United on this show this year, and it's that was just a continuation of what we've seen all year. They just don't seem like a club that has the ability to rise up. They just aren't at that level. They aren't at the level of a Juve right now, and it showed. There was nothing disgraceful about the way they played, other than when you put it, you know, into their historical position, right? Like, there's no reason to think that they should have been competing with Juventus even at home, and they didn't. And it played out yesterday like that. And, you know, Ronaldo got a nice ovation when he came off, and that was kind of the nice thing there. And no one's talking about the allegations.
Yeah. Oh, the special one? Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah, him.
And, you know, who's the last team to beat Juventus from England in the Champions League?
In the Champions League.
Yes.
I know City beat them in the Europa League, or Europa a few years ago. Like, when I say a few, I mean like 2010. But, yeah, no, I'm not sure. Who was it?
Fulham. So, remember when Fulham was in the Champions League?
That's Europa as well, then. I think that was Europa. They Europa? Played them in the... Yeah. So, last year in Europe.
Well, it was in the group stage. And they might have both went into the... anyways. Fulham is the last England team to beat Juventus in the European competition. So that tells you all you need to know about England's team's performances against Juventus.
Fulham played in the Europa League final. Think about that for a second. Fulham was in a European final, but they lost. But
they lost.
They lost to Atleti, I believe. That was a long time ago now.
Bayern Munich 2, AEK in Athens, Greece 0, Young Boys 1, Valencia 1. That was a fun game to watch. Valencia, Batshuayi, the Batman, scored the opening goal, and then Young Boys got a penalty late in the game, 1-1. Ajax Benfica, Amsterdam, Ajax 1-1, nothing at home, getting the job done versus the classic team from Lisbon. Real Madrid 2, Victoria Plzeň 1. Real Madrid won a game. The first time in 6 games that they've won one. They were on a 5 games winless streak. They saved the job of Lopetegui for another few days. And Real Madrid 2, Plzeň 1. Man United 0, Juventus 1. Offenheim and Lyon. That was a cracker of a game, Dwayne. And this,
yeah, there was a lot going on in that one, yeah.
3-3 in this one. Which the group now is back to being open, but made for City to win pretty easily because City won 3-0 versus Shakhtar Donetsk. And you know, last time they played together, Man City and Shakhtar Donetsk, City lost 2-1. So this one had a bit of a revenge factor. And Roma, CSKA Moscow, Roma was able to not suffer the same fate as Real Madrid and were able to beat Roma, to beat CSKA Moscow, sorry, 3-0.
Yeah, and Dzeko had a great game in that one as well. The City game was fun. Obviously, I focused on that a lot yesterday, and it was a bit disconcerting because I'm used to City in the Champions League doing everything it possibly can to lose. But they just had a controlled game that. But that Hoffenheim-Lyon game, it was a late goal in the 93rd minute or something. Hoffenheim tied it up, and it was all hell broke loose at the final whistle because they blew the whistle before the stoppage time was up, and it was craziness. But 3-3, hell of a game to watch. That was the game to watch for sure. Real quickly, Kevin, my favorite thing about Young Boys has a female team as well that's in the Champions League, so they are the Young Boys Women, which slays
Come
me
on,
every
just,
time.
Just call them Young Girls. I don't know.
Or
young whatever gender you associate with. Or
young Shims.
Young players, you know, young players. Anyways, it's always weird because, you know, when you yell at which team you love, you're like, yay, I love Madrid. Yay, I love Barca. Yay, I love Young Boys. What?
Everyone's backing away slowly. You know, it's an old joke, but it never gets old. Exactly. No. With Young Boy Women's, that does slay me. Even if I was listening to a female podcast, a women's podcast, and even they were laughing about it. So I think we're okay to have that fun there.
Yeah, if you call your team Young Boys, you open yourself up to a few puns.
Yeah, a few. More than a few.
More than a few. We'll be back tomorrow with the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. Today, there's more Champions League game coming up today. A few good ones. You have... PSV Eindhoven, Tottenham, Club Brugge, Monaco, PSG, Napoli. That's an interesting one. Dortmund, Napoli. Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, the hipsters derby right there. Lokomotiv Moscow, FC Porto, Galatasaray, Schalke, Barcelona, Inter Milan, and Liverpool, Red Star, Belgrade. So 8 games again today, which if you are in Canada, you can watch on DAZN. And you know, The Zone is doing a free preview this week. You can find the show Box to Box. We'll show you every goal of the Champions League free on Twitter and on Facebook. Just look for The Zone Canada, and you'll be able to watch at least the goals of the Champions League free for this match day.
And yeah, absolutely. And look, the zone yesterday, it was better. It seemed like the signal was more stable. I don't know whether that was just where I was or whether that was universal, but they do a good job. It's just there's still something missing when we can't go to the pub and just watch it by going to the bartender and going, can you please turn the TV to that? But I guess new world. It's a new world.
It's a brave new world, Dwayne, with brave new technology. And until tomorrow, as always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie. And until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.